What up? Yeah, that's right, Word on the Street. You are now live with your boy, Pretty Pete, on Soar Radio. Hope everybody out there is having a great day. Don't forget to go to soareveryday.listentomyradio.com. That's soareveryday.listentomyradio.com. Get some music, get a little bit of talk, a little bit of sports. You know what I'm saying? This is how we're doing it on Soar Radio. Don't forget, I got Steven Ivey's going to call in. He's going to bless the show like he always do. I got some news that's coming here to you guys that's pretty relevant on what the stuff's going on. Everyone's still talking about that Baltimore things and Baltimore and everything that's going on, that's relevant with the stuff that's going on still because it is Baltimore. But it breaks me up. I was on news1.com, and it brings up the question, you know, is black church still relevant? You know, is black church still relevant? That is a great, great point. Feel free to call in 877-921-1656. That's 877-921-1656. You know, just call in and tell me, and you can also tell me about the world on your street. Just like Stephen Ivey said yesterday, how many of us have actually, since we've seen what's going on in Baltimore, how many of us actually has went down to our local government, or Boys and Girls Club, and really tried to see what's going on in our town? And this goes back, you can retweet as many people as you want to. You can share people's statuses as many as you want to. You can do whatever it is that you want to online as much as you want to. But it still doesn't reconcile that what's going on physically in your neighborhood or what's the word on the street. But man, let me read this article because I got some stuff that's on my chest, man. Just like the questions I just asked, is the black church still relevant? Based on news1.com, it says black church attendance is suffering in a generation gap. According to the Pew Research Center, nearly 1 in 5 African Americans under the age of 30 are unaffiliated with a religion, compared with 7% of African Americans who are the age of 65 and older. With this trend in mind, I can't really pronounce this word. It says, Only Love Outstone of Pico Faith in New York and Reverend Tony Lee from Community of Hope and Church discussed the relevancy of black church and Shannon Lanier of Around TV during a panel discussion about the National Urban League 2015 State of Black America Report. It also says, Austin confirmed a general shift where you have the post-civil rights generation who may have grown up without going to church. In addition, black folks have become more spiritual choices today beyond traditional Protestant denominations as varied as Catholicism, Yoruban religion, and multiracial churches. Let me read that again. It says, Austin confirmed a generational shift where you have the post-civil rights generation who may have grown up without going to church. In addition, black folks have more spiritual choices today beyond traditional Protestant denominations as varied as Catholicism, Yoruban religion, and multicultural churches. Even so, said Lee, if you look at the black church, it's still relevant as it has ever been. The black church has been a center of community, the center of fight and struggle. If you look even now, what you will find is the black community is still standing up. It is still the place where generations of people come through to be able to take care of and nurture to grow. Yeah, which at the very end, I really still think, in my opinion, PDP, Word on the Street, owner of Saving Athletes Respectfully, Soar Radio, just to say that, I still do think black churches are relevant. You know, I grew up in a black church, and it's crazy how we call it a black church, and we really doesn't realize it's a black church while we're young. It's not until we get into high school that we're like, this church is completely different than my church. So then that's where we, you know, divide the line. That's when we're gonna be like, oh, my church, we don't get out for 3 hours. That's why most kids don't really have to go to church in the first place growing up in a minority town. But then vice versa, across town, you're only in there for an hour, and you get the message and stuff on that. But that's not the whole point I'm trying to make. The whole point I'm trying to make is that we as minorities don't really understand. Most of the time it's us. Oh, man, that's white people's food. But, man, I'm a prime example of it, man. I'm a prime example. All this white people stuff, all this and that. But we really don't mean nothing of it. But it's just crazy how the stigma and it all boils down from it comes out of our neighborhood, and it boils down to the street, and it boils down to the media. And nowadays, one of the most, probably the most popular culture now that is more normally than anything, but I think the most popular culture even from the 90s before we even had the internet and all this, is black culture. Black culture is so much more respected more than black people. And you know, it kind of upsets me whenever the question is black church is still relevant and stuff. Of course it's still relevant. And I think some of black people are some of the most spiritual people. And it's crazy because nowadays there's actually a difference between religion and spirituality. Religion is man-made. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people don't really understand it. And a lot of people are talking about violence and violence is just the way to go. But look at religion. If you really did your research and study about religion and stuff, religion, you know, spirituality has always been here. And we speak to God and we speak to Jesus and people see these angels and demons and stuff. You know, that's spirituality. And then religious is just people who have the same kind of spirituality and becoming a group and basically an alliance towards other people who don't. You know what I'm saying? That's why you do got the Catholics. Why you do got the Christians. Why you do got the that's why you do got non-denominational. Now, non-denominational is that now I feel like people are becoming aware of the spirituality and religious, and that just means people are becoming more educated and people are becoming more of one of themselves and not really and doing their own research instead of the old school back in the day. Not many people knew you can go to church every day. You know what I'm saying? Not many people in church knew. I mean, I remember growing up, I didn't know. I was like choir meetings and stuff like that. I mean, I had no idea. I had no idea what was going on in the churches and stuff behind closed doors. And when I say behind closed doors, means once those doors close on Sunday, very rare. I never knew. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't until I really got into middle school and I got involved with some people whose moms were deacons, whose moms were pastors and stuff like that. And that's when I knew. That's when I found out. And people actually go to church on Wednesdays. You know, people go to church on Wednesdays. It's like, man, I started to see some stuff. I'm like, man, these people who actually go to church on Wednesdays and Sundays, those are actually the people who score the most points in basketball games, having the better grades. And that's something as a little kid that I really paid attention to. And I remember getting baptized when I was in the seventh grade. I think when I was in sixth grade is when I really started to take notice about people really going to church. And I remember going up in Muskogee, Oklahoma. I was living in some apartments called Meadowbrook. And Meadowbrook was some low-income apartments. And I remember seeing this dude named Theo dribbling his basketball. And let me tell you something. I carried myself, even though I'm real poor, I still carried myself like I was rich. Everybody thought I had money. Everybody thought my mama had a good job. And when she did it, everybody thought, you know, just because I was a good athlete, I wanted to hold myself up to this standard. You know what I'm saying? So with that being said, I wash my clothes in the sink or in the tub, and I let them dry. And every day after practice, I would wash my stuff, and then once they dry, I press them. So people would think I took my clothes to the cleaners. But anyways, what I'm trying to say, no one knew I stayed in some apartment. So one day I see this one of my friends from school named Theo dribbling the basketball. I see him. I just ran back in the house. Boom! Ran back in the house. I was like, oh, man, that's Theo. You know what I'm saying? I called him my best friend. Still my best friend to this day. Called Chubb. Like, Chubb, man, you know Theo? I see Theo. Dribbling the basketball around here. And he goes, he was like, oh, yeah, you know, you go talk to him. I said, nah, man, I kind of know I live out here in these apartments. But anyways, I thought Theo was still visiting, and he ended up moving out there. I didn't know. He actually snuck up on me one day when I'm outside practicing playing the basketball. He rolled up on me, talking about, "What's up, Pete?" He said, "You live out there?" And I wanted to lie to him, but I was like, "Nah." You know what I'm saying? But I just remember, during time, like I was about to lie. I was about to lie to him and be like, "No, I don't live in these apartments and stuff." But then something came into me. Was like, "No, just tell the truth." So I got to do all this running. You know what I'm saying? So he was like, "Man, it's okay. I live out here too." And I knew he used to live in a house. So I was like, "Well, hey man, well we two broke brothers. Well, let's just go ahead and get along. We've been cool ever since that day." But the point of my story is that he caught me in a time to where I started to really start seeking Jesus, the Lord, you know what I'm saying? So I remember seventh grade coming. It was Old Agency Baptist Church, church camp. I remember I was 13, just turned 13 years old, went to the church camp, started getting into my Bible, started playing pool. Long story short, ended up got baptized. I remember my first football game after church camp was the only game I was healthy in, the only game that I ever scored a touchdown. I scored two touchdowns that game, and I remember reading my Bible to the game and from the game. There was this girl named Whitney Bowler who said something to me, too, also. But this wasn't until high school because she goes, "Pete, you into that Bible?" I was like, "You know I'm in my Bible, Whitney." And then me and Whitney also had the same grandpa, too, C.W., may he rest in peace. And then Bowler goes, "Man, yeah, you get in that Bible, I'm telling you, you're going to hit better. You're going to play, and you're probably going to win." I said, "Man, I tested that out of seventh grade. I know. You know what I'm saying?" I was like, "I know." So she was like, "Make sure you stay in that Bible." So what I'm trying to say is that, man, I had no idea about different kind of religious type of backgrounds. I didn't know nothing about Baptists or Catholics and stuff like that. All I knew was church. We went to church. We read our Bible. It wasn't until I went to Texas Tech and came to Arkansas and understood the difference between Church of Christ and Methodist and stuff like that, in which I find myself even to this day to probably be non-denominational because I see myself as being more spiritual than more religious. And that's why I feel like that from News1.com, the article that I was talking to you guys about, that everything is relevant, still relevant within the black church. And I have one of and every day I have somebody call into my church into my show from a black church, and his name is Mr. Stephen Ivey. And he just joined us on the line right now. What's up, Mr. Ivey? You there with me?
Hey, how's it going, man?
It's going well. Your day been going good, man?
It's been going good. It's been going very well, man. Very well.
You sure, man? You sound like you're a little down a little bit.
No. It's been going very well. I'm just in a relaxed mode, but it's going very well.
Oh, okay, man. I hear you. Well, man, we got about 17 minutes left. That's between me. That's between you and I. So it's your time to get the flow. So go ahead and Gio.
All right, man. Today I was actually what took me so long to get on. Me and my brother and you know him, Pete, Sterling Mooney. He and I have been talking. We've been on the phone for about an hour and a half, man. Just talking to each other, catching up, encouraging each other and stuff, and kind of sparked something in me to talk about today. And the question I have for everyone that's listening is what do you do when life, I'll say this, what do you do when life happens? Ivy, what do you mean, what do you do when life happens? If you live any amount of time, you know that life throws us curveballs. Life is a roller coaster ride. And what do you do when life happens? What do you do on this roller coaster called life? Can I first submit to you that having roller coasters, ups and downs, twists and turns, is very indicative of life? Why do I say that? If you go into the hospital right now and you look on a heart monitor or a monitor that measures people's pulse, what lets you know that person is still alive is as long as that pulse is going up and down, up and down. When that pulse does what they call a flat line, and it's just, there's no movement, just straight, flat, nothing, that's a symbol of death. And so what do you do when life happens, ups and downs? Guess what you do, Pete? You keep living.
What you do? You keep living.
You keep living.
There we go.
You keep living. You don't stop. It's just like a roller coaster. If you tried to get off a roller coaster in the middle of its ups and downs, you 9 times out of 10 are going to hurt yourself severely and you're going to die. And so whoever's listening today, and this is probably, this is just the vein of life and the point that I'm in right now, but this is almost where I always find myself, and I think I've said it before, because in life we always find ourselves celebrating the best of times with the worst of times. There's normally never a separation between the two. We can all think about great moments in our life, and at the same time something great is happening, something equally bad is in the back of our mind. And when life happens, you just keep living. Don't get off. Don't try to stop. Don't try to find a way out. Just stay on it, because eventually your downs are going to turn to ups, and you'll be on that mountaintop, and eventually you get off the roller coaster and you keep moving. You know what I'm saying? And so I heard somebody say this, and I'll end with this. Remember that a valley exists between two high points. And so if you're in a valley, if you're in a low point right now, a valley, at the end of a valley is only made because that it's in between two high points. And so if you're in a valley, the only place that you can go up from a valley is up. So be encouraged. Life happens to you. Just keep living.
Oh, I like that right there. He says, keep living. Okay. That's what's up right there, Mr. Stephen Ivey. So which brings me to this. I don't know if you guys got a chance to hear what I was talking about, the black church. I was reading something on News1.com. You should, I don't know if you ever went to that website, but you should go check it out. News1.com, that's where like people from the Ricky Smiley Show and things like they get their news and things in that. But a question was, is the black church still relevant to this day? So that's a question I want to ask you. I know we don't ask questions back and forth normally, but that's just something, you know, with you being who you are, I wanted to get your insight on how you feel about this. So do you feel like the black church is still relevant to this day?
I would say yes and no. Yes and no. Because I just, while you said the word relevant, I wanted to get the concrete definition. Relevant means to be closely connected to or appropriate to the matter at hand. And I would say yes and no again. I think one of the things that we do know about church is that most churches are very antiquated and find themselves, find themselves at least 20 years behind the curve of everybody else. And so when we talk about the relevance of the black church, I think in some ways we are, but I think in some ways we're not. Depending on what church you talk about, there are some that are very antiquated. Some don't use modern technology. And honestly, in this generation, in the generation of an iPhone and Android and social media, not saying that if you don't do it, you know, you're bad, but if you're not plugged into these sources, then you are archaic, because most of the world, you know, the world in and of itself has found that using social media is great for advertising and marketing and all that kind of stuff. And so if the world can sell their product, whether it's beer, sex, drugs, whatever the case may be, then the church ought to be able to put Jesus out there. And so I think in some ways, yes, we are. And I think I have to be truthful when I say relevant is not embracing the latest trend. I don't believe relevance is embracing the latest trend. There are a lot of churches that are very trendy, that are very in touch with the cultural, whatever's going on culturally, as far as, you know, we look the part. But I think relevant, I'm trying to think how to say it. relevant and effective. All right. Mm. So I think relevant ought to also have some effectiveness with it, if that makes sense. And I'm old school when it comes to this. You can have all the trendiness that you have or that you want, but if you're still not giving Jesus in all of your trendiness and in all of your conformity, then your relevance is not effective, and it's really, you know, to me, a heap of dung. So in some ways I'll say yes, and in some ways I'll say no, but I don't want to come off as if I'm saying that the churches that I feel are relevant are the ones that are trendy. Honestly, I think the relevant churches are the ones that are more so in touch with what's going on in their community and in the world, and are doing things to impact their community and the world for Jesus Christ. And that, to me, is a relevant church. Not the pastor getting up wearing skinny jeans, and a graphic T-shirt and having a positive message with a whole nice backdrop. That's trendy. That's for the culture. That looks good. That communicates well. But if that same church is not out in the community and knowing what the heartbeat of that community is, you're not relevant. You're just trendy.
Wow, man, that was a great. That was great, man. That was great. I think so too. I still think. What you said, man, you think is different between being relevant and being trendy. Is that what you said, being trendy?
Yes, sir.
No, yeah, okay. Yeah, and you also said that, you know, being relevant doesn't necessarily mean that, basically, like, doesn't necessarily mean you're right. Like, we can look the part, you know what I'm saying? And then it's not as effective if you've been relevant and then you really not, it's really not genuine. That's the best way I can put it. The best thing I can get out of it. And I completely agree. I agree with you right there. And just what I was saying right before you called in, it is like, man, I hate to say the term black church, because ultimately we don't really know what a black church is. Today we just call it church until we use it to get into high school. And then once we get into high school, then we go to well, you probably know a little bit better than I was, but it wasn't really until whenever I got into high school, I got to see other people's church was like white churches, Indian church. My best friend Chuck, they went to the first Baptist of Indian church. You know what I'm saying? I know. You know, so it's just like how they say racism is taught at a young age in our homes. I think culturally, it's just when we able, because most of us live in a black neighborhood, go to a black church. You know, and then we're able to then go to a black school. You know, I don't know if he went to West Middle School, but that's where I went. You know what I'm saying? And went to Old Agency Baptist Church. That's where a kid just got killed a couple months ago. You know, down there in Muskogee. That was my realm, and I didn't really understood until I got into college. Something like a white church. Like, dang, y'all get y'all point across in an hour. Where I come from, it take about three. You know what I'm saying? And just that alone kind of drove me away from church. But still, it wasn't – I just knew church, and that was it. I just knew church and the Bible, whether it was a white church, a black church. But I was, man, you know what I'm saying, once I got to see you, like, man, this ain't like a black church. Black church, we get the spirit for real, whoop-de-whoop. You know what I'm saying? All it is, all y'all do, y'all can't even clap y'all hands. You know, but it was me putting that force of energy into the world. And that's what I'm talking about in the media nowadays. It's so culturally divided, and then they just know how to manipulate some people with just a caption. And then it ultimately turns into this white and black thing, but really at the end of the day, it's not. And with your answer, what you're saying, that, you know, being trendy and being relevant, you know, if you look the part, that don't necessarily mean you're going to be the part. And I just really wanted to conclude with that, because when I read that article on news1.com, it really kind of upset me a little bit, because asking me, is black church still relevant? To me, my first response, yeah, how is it not? You know what I'm saying? Because, like, if you pay attention to this, Stephen, I've been watching what you call Friday Night Lights. It's a TV show. I've been stuck to my TV for the past 2 days. And from every first episode, they have the black kid on their team called Smash. And Smash doesn't really say nothing through the whole. Well, he has a big mouth, but still, he's just cocky. You know what I'm saying? All athletes need to have a certain cockiness and arrogance to them. But when it's time to pray, he prays, you know, in front of the whole team. This happens from the first episode that he's in to the last one. He prays. And, like, if you really pay attention, you could be out in your everyday life, you know what I'm saying? Or you could be just watching the football game, watching the movie, and see who does the praying, and see who has the courage enough. No one wants to pay, and no one wants to pray. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever been to Thanksgiving and then somebody asks them, well, who got it? You know what I'm saying? Or just anywhere eating, somebody asks, who got it? That means who's going to pray. And people look around, it's usually the darker skin complexion one, like, oh, well, I got it. You know what I'm saying? I think because that stuff is embedded in us, and we got a certain kind of spirituality that's through us that's itching to come out. And a person named Adrian Reese, who has his own show every Thursday, he says, what's up in you is going to come out of you. And that's ever since he said that, I'm like, man, that's totally true, because, like, I tell him, and I think I've told you, man, it's like when I start to speak, it's like I don't want people to view me as a preacher or like a pastor or whatnot. And, you know, I take my hat off to you, you know what I'm saying, for stepping into that realm and stepping into that dream and desire. But I was like, as far as for me, I'm like, man, I don't even know if I'm worthy for something like that. And that's why I try to get away from, like, doing the preaching and stuff. But what he said, what Reese said, what's up in you is going to come out of you sooner or later. So if you got greatness and you got a seed in you to speak to some people and stuff, it's going to come out of you. And it really made sense. And that's why I'm just like, you know, and I still find myself doing a lot of talking, doing a lot of stuff, but I'm just like, man, I just don't want people to view me in a way to where, like, I'm just one huge saint, in which, in reality of it is, you know, I'm really not that type. You see what I'm saying? I don't know if that makes sense to you, but to me, it makes perfect sense. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you.
But, we're gonna get back into it tomorrow. I'm gonna go ahead and put this on your page, man. I'm gonna put this show on your page and stuff. And I know you tagged me something on Facebook yesterday. What exactly was that? Like, I was so busy yesterday, I really didn't even get a chance to, like, really listen. So just go ahead and just tell the listeners exactly what you got going on and what that CD was.
Yeah. So. Saturday, one of my sisters, Shalandria Enoch, we've been in ministry together for about 6 years or so. She released her second album called Unbroken, and I was just pubbing that, and in the midst of that CD, I have a song, track number two, called Teach Me, that I did a duet with her on there, and so that was just me posting a video. Excuse me, about singing with her on that. But I would encourage anybody, man, to go find her on iTunes or Google Play or Amazon, Shalandria Enoch. And if you don't know how to spell it, because that's a pretty hard name, just type in Unbroken. Just type in Unbroken, and it should pop her up. And then, you know, if you're listening. I know, Pete, you said I'd love to connect with everybody on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all of that. And y'all holler back at me and let me know, you know, you're one of the radio listeners. That'd be awesome.
Oh, man, that's what's up, man. Well, all right, Mr. Ali, it's called Unbroken, you guys, Shalandria Enoch. You guys go check that out. Can you get it up on iTunes or hit it up on Google, type in Unbroken, and stuff like that will pop up. Well, all right, Mr. Ozzy, we'll talk to you tomorrow, different short day, same short time. All right, brother?
All right, Doug. We'll talk to you later, man.
All right, good deal. Yeah, that was Mr. Reverend Stephen Ozzy calling in, blessing the show like he always do, doing his thing. No matter what you've done or what you've been through, life is about making your dreams come true. Make sure you go to soareveryday.listentomyradio.com. That's soareveryday.listentomyradio.com. Go stream me live. And just like that, it's been real. No matter what you've done or what you've been through, life is about making your dreams come true. And don't forget, let them haters hate. You know what I'm saying? That's it. Deuces, word on the street with your boy Peter P. Have a great day. Peace.